Welcome everyone to today's webinar, 5 Steps to Enhance Your Online Engagement in 2012. My name is Marissa Dresnick, Events Manager for Sitecore, and I'll be your moderator today. We are recording today's webinar, and we will send attendees a link to the recorded presentation and PowerPoint slides within a couple of days. At the end of the webinar, the presenter will answer questions from attendees. Please feel free to post these questions throughout the webinar in chat box on your webinar toolbar. We will also post some of your questions at the Twitter hashtag #Engagement2012. Presenting on today's topic is Scott Lewer and Darren Guarnaccia. Scott is lead analyst and senior consultant for Gilbane's web content management practice. He is a recognized thought leader in the field of content management, speaking, conducting workshops, and writing regularly on the subjects of Web CMS, Web 2.0 in the enterprise, and user-oriented intranets. As an analyst, Scott contributes to Outsell's Gilbane Services Research, focusing on WCM-related topics such as web engagement. He also consults with WCM vendors to advise them on industry trends and product roadmaps. Darren is Senior Vice President of Product Marketing here at Sitecore and a broad technologist with a deep understanding of the web CMS marketplace. Early in his career, he served as Director of Technology for a large financial organization. He also ran e-commerce operations for a large regional consulting organization, building sizable e-commerce and CMS solutions for enterprises. In 2003, he did join Red Dot, the Open Text Web Solutions Group, where he served as Vice President of Product Marketing. Here at Sitecore, Darren's responsibilities include product planning and management, technical briefings with analysts, press, and major clients, and business development and alliances. Here's a brief summary of Sitecore. We provide enterprise-class web content management and marketing software. We've got over 2,500 customers managing over 30,000 websites worldwide. We also have a network of over 700 Sitecore certified partners worldwide. Sitecore was rated as a leader in this year's Gartner Magic Quadrant for web content management and has garnered recognition from analysts and media from around the world. So at this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to our presenters. Welcome, Scott and Darren.
Great. Thanks so much, Marissa. So as Marissa introduced us, that was a very nice introduction. Thank you. So today I'm going to spend some time talking to you both about engagement, which I think is the basis for all of this, and then most specifically customer experience and customer engagement, as we've come to call it lately. As Marissa said, I do lead the web content management practice at Outsell's Gilbane Group. We're an analyst firm, and as she said, we focus on helping to bring some clarity to the marketplace. So I hope that we do that for you today here. She also said, please feel free to engage. I love, even in the midst of webinars, to engage on Twitter simultaneously. We'll take your questions. We'll try to do that as much live as possible. So bring those along. So today I'll talk to, number one, why is engagement, what is engagement, why is it valuable? Two, we'll define customer experience, and then we'll also look at a maturity model that we've created here at Outsell for customer experience. And then lastly, we'll talk about kind of essentially the whole topic of this is the 5 steps to enhance customer experience or customer engagement for you, and hopefully those are nice and pragmatic for you. So we'll start with this definition that you see here on the screen, which is a definition that I wrote a couple of years ago in a paper I authored with a colleague at the time. It says, engagement occurs when a consumer interacts with a brand and elects to invest in it physically, financially, or emotionally. I actually felt like it's funny in a forum that I'm in, this in the CM Pros forum, someone else is asking this question, hey, can somebody please define it for us? And it was such a basic thing. So I think this is actually fits for a couple of reasons, but I want to point out a few things about this definition. The first here is that I'll apologize in advance. I talk here about consumer, you see. It talks about consumer and brand. I realize everyone in the audience is not necessarily in kind of the B2C world, but please, you can replace that with constituent and government or employee for intranet spaces or partners or businesses in B2B, donors in nonprofit, that sort of thing. So this applies across all of them, but I do tend to refer here to consumers. The second thing is that I want to point out, we talk about interacting, right? That, you know, it's specifically an interaction with a brand. You'll see that when we talk through the engagement journey a little bit later, you know, engagement seems like this pie in the sky term that's so unachievable for so many folks. But in fact, it's really just a series of interactions, right? It's just the nature of those interactions is that they are cumulative, and we'll talk about that. But the key is that kind of each one of them picks up where the previous one left off, and you have to assemble some sort of consistency across them from one to the next and across your various channels. And that sounds like a very monumental task, but at its most basic core, it's actually not so bad. So hopefully we help give you some tips about how to do that. Thirdly, is mentions here to invest in it, that it requires an investment. But I want to point out, we specifically say that can be a physical investment or an emotional investment, not just financial. So it's engagement is not defined as, you know, post-purchase, right? We talk about investing in, you know, that's not the only way. We can talk about, you know, giving of our time, of our commitment. I work with a nonprofit board. I'm certainly very engaged with them. Just like in any conversation that we have to be willing to give our time and our energy to participate in that. So whether we're writing recommendations or contributing feedback or clicking a like button, those sorts of things, those are indicators of engagement for us. But certainly it's not all financially driven. So next, I think, you know, I've said this before, and certainly others have as well, is that the days of kind of social media, that term being a distinct part of the web, are really gone, right? And essentially, we've really reached a point where the web is now social, right? And it is very interactive by its very nature. So given that, if you agree with that, then, you know, engagement essentially is the most valued currency of this new paradigm, right? So with all these ways to interact, and where time is extremely valuable, then that is what brands are all you know, seeking from consumers. So even when folks are not necessarily spending money, that their advocacy is really key. And, you know, we've heard this adage that, you know, consumers, when they are happy with the product or with an experience, they tell three people, and when they're not so happy and they have an unfavorable experience, they tell eight people. And nowadays, you know, I think you can that is exponentially true, where we're talking about 3 million and 8 million people, right? So the stakes are certainly higher, and I think those brands that understand and kind of are willing to work in this world of kind of consumer empowerment, those are the ones who are going to win, right? So these conversations were always happening. It's just now about being able to know about them and being able to participate in them. And, you know, like any conversation, you know, for a long time we were talking about this notion of perceptive content. Persuasive content was the talk for a long time. And we've introduced this concept of, you know, perceptive content, that we've talked about this again for a while now, that, you know, in order to have a conversation, it really is two-way, or it's multi-way at least, multi-directional. And that in order to persuade somebody, in order to be persuasive, you have to first be able to perceive them, right? So once that conversation, though, is taking place, which is all that this is, right? This is a way of having digital conversations. So once that conversation is taking place, and it is two-way, when you're listening and interpreting the needs of your audience through the use of, you know, certainly social tools that we talked about, user-generated capabilities, then those are explicit ways, but there's also implicit ways, like watching their behavior online or their interaction with your site. What were they searching for when they came to your site? What content got their attention, and what did they pass by? That tells you just as much, right? And what channel were they using when they were interacting with you? All these things are pretty easy to find, right? And they allow you to create a profile for this person and understand kind of their latent needs, right? So it's at that point that you can use that information to respond to them in a compelling and relevant way, right? So you can keep record of those interactions over time and be sure to interact with them consistently. all of that's going to establish a level of trust, which is what this is really about. So having that consistency and that, those cumulative conversations is going to establish a level of trust for you where you're giving them more and more value and they're giving you more time, more feedback, and more information about themselves. So I liken this to an analogy I've been using in the past few months that seems to be resonating well. I hope it does for you. I liken this to my story of a restaurant where, so my wife and I, we have three kids, two little boys aged 4 and 2 and a baby girl who's nearly 6 months. And at the end of a long week, we don't like to really cook so much, and certainly we don't like to cook on Fridays. So we avoid the kitchen as much as possible and take the family out to eat. But anyone who has kids like me knows that that's not necessarily a relaxing situation. So we've found, you know, a restaurant that we frequent 2 or 3 times a month because we're really comfortable there. We know what we're going to get. So when we go to this restaurant, we usually, you know, there's one of two greeters or hostesses at the door. They're super nice to us. You know, they know our needs. They've seen us come in. They know. They sit us in the back table. And again, that's, you know, that's probably as, you know, for as much for their convenience as for ours. But, you know, we get a table in the back. They bring our, you know, they know that my one son likes a glass of milk and the other one likes a glass of apple juice. They take the kids' orders right away and bring it out first. You know, not too hot. I can go on and on and on about all the little things, the nuances that make our experience there seamless, that over time they've been willing to kind of adapt to our needs. And so we have an expectation of what we're going to get every time we go in there, right? And so that bar has been raised. And certainly if I didn't have that same experience at a restaurant that I hadn't frequented as much, I wouldn't nearly be very disappointed as if I walked into this restaurant and for some reason either a different person was there or I just got a different experience. I would be even more put off, right, because the bar has been raised for me. And I think you can parallel that to the situations that you're presenting for your customers. You know, also I'd point out about this analogy that I think rings true. In the digital world, is that these folks at the restaurant, they don't know a lot of personal information about me or about my family. They do by now kind of know our first names, right? But they don't know where we live. They don't know, you know, my interests outside of maybe the food that I eat. And that's totally, and I don't know them, right? But that's totally okay. So in order to personalize, you don't have to be completely personal, right? And so So in the same way that if you do have some information that you know about somebody, it's not necessarily relevant to the story that you're trying to tell them, so you don't feel like you have to use it. And at the same time, you don't feel like, you shouldn't feel like you have to know everything about a person in order to be relevant to them. So I think that's an important point to be made about this analogy. And then lastly, just to, you know, continue to beat this analogy into the ground a little bit further, if I were to go and run into one of these hostesses, maybe at the grocery store or something, and I said, oh, hey, you know, hey, Marianne, how are you? And if she looked at me like I was like, who's that weird guy? Like, get away from me. I don't know you. I would be really put off, right? And I think that you can liken that to the cross-channel notion, right, where, you know, you have a place where people are typically coming. You have experiences with them in one particular location. But if you see them outside of that domain, you should certainly recognize them. You need to be able to do that, right, because you have to be able to have a level of consistency. You don't have to present the exact same experience. Their needs are probably different in those other channels. But certainly you need to recognize them and be able to pick up. So I hope that works for you. What it does for me is it's a story that supports this notion of an engagement journey that we have here that I like to use to explain this. So just briefly, you know, excuse me. The engagement journey is, you know, essentially if you think about it, with any digital brand, there's some sort of a brand experience, right, where you're, you know, prior to that experience, the consumer is unaware of the brand is unaware of the consumer. Then maybe, you know, a web search is conducted, and you see that you, the consumer now, I'm changing hats here, you know, we, the consumer, you see a link that looks enticing, or you see an advertisement for it on the site, or you're driving down the street and you see a billboard, or you click on a QR code. Whatever it is, you get introduced at some level to a brand, and you decide to follow up on it. You go to the website. And And at that point, you've had a web experience. And now there's a level of kind of, there's an element of knowing that each other exists at least. You certainly, as the consumer, you know the brand exists. And the brand, to some degree, knows a little bit about you. They know, you know, from where you came. They know, you know, geolocation-wise where you are. They might be able to make some inferences with that. They can start to assemble, they know how you got there, you know, what page you were referred from or what search you conducted. So those are really helpful pieces of information that they can now start to form a little bit of information about you and can hopefully be able to respond, because hopefully they've got this notion of an engagement objective in mind, which is this next thing. And by the way, this looks very linear, and it's certainly not. There's a lot of cycles in here where, you know, if we're smart about it, and now we put back on our marketer hats or our customer experience hats on, if we're smart about it, we've got an engagement objective. We know that when a person is new, coming to our site for the first time, we've got some information that we want to introduce to them, you know, based on their needs. But if they've come back 5, 10, many times, if they're a regular, there's a different level of information they're looking for from us, different level of engagement there. And with each one of them, we're trying to further that conversation a little bit and take from the last and bring it to the present and try to, you know, get ourselves moving even further forward towards a conversion of some sort, at which point they become, quote-unquote, a customer. Again, whether it's a buying customer or not, they become a customer of some sort. And at that point, there's kind of, that's really where, to me, customer engagement, customer experience comes into play, where we're now kind of post whatever that conversion or transaction is. There's a different level of experience at that point that you're presenting to them, more information that's been shared, and you can move them towards kind of loyalty and advocacy. So that's my attempt at showing that. I think the key to that engagement journey, though, is, as I've indicated a number of points along the way there, that knowing who your audience is, who you're dealing with, and where they are on that engagement journey, knowing whether they're kind of a novice with you or whether they're a long timer, they're a loyal advocate, knowing where they are along that journey is going to be a business asset. It's going to be the only thing that's going to help you know which engagement objectives you need to be able to present forward to be able to further that conversation, right? So specifically then, let's look at what you know, the definition of customer experience, because here's where I think we're starting to move from the realm of, you know, just quote unquote web experience and on into customer experience. So to me, this, you know, a customer's holistic perception of a company and its offerings based on all of their interactions with that company. To me, the key here is that we're talking about a customer, and I use the literal definition of a customer, as is distinct from a prospect. So certainly when we're selling to prospects, we know that all customers are also prospects, right? But that's not, the reverse is not necessarily true, right? So we have a lot of information about our customers. We have a lot more intimate interactions with them, and they've had to give us, you know, more explicit information just because of the nature of that relationship now. And so we've worked with them on fulfillment, services delivery, support, those sorts of things. So to me, with CEM, or customer engagement management, customer experience management, I think we raised the bar a bit, right? We're now, certainly like with, you know, just your kind of typical web engagement, we're talking about branding and marketing and pre-sales and all of those sorts of things. But with customer experience and engagement, we're now talking through to support, delivery, that sort of thing. So to me, CEM is really the first time, I think, that we can talk about, you know, quote-unquote, a 360-degree view of the customer, where we've used that term a lot and folks have said that, but they're really, there are two of these 180-degree sides, both of seeing them as the prospect and seeing them as the customer, and having a fluid experience with both of those sides of them, I think, is really the key. So at the end of the day, really, it's all about data, right? So what do we have about our information data, about our customers, each of them, and what data can we use to make those interactions with them that much more relevant and that much more compelling? You've heard me use those terms a number of times. So certainly, we think about the full breadth of a customer experience, you know, we all know that we're not just talking about digital interactions, right? Customer experience is, you know, the interpersonal interactions and physical ambiance and those sorts of things as well. So I think, you know, a good example for that is anyone who knows, who has shopped at an Apple store, knows, you know, about the kind of physical and interpersonal customer experience, right? The kind of the clean, inviting look, the employees that are super knowledgeable about their products and pretty available as well, ready to greet you. The invitation that's kind of just there, you're invited to come in and play with those devices and pick them up and write an email if you want, whatever. The checkout experience and how super easy that is, how the receipt is emailed to you, the cool bag you get to throw over your shoulder on the way out, it's all of it, right? But our focus here is on, I completely realize that customer experience is far more than we're talking about here in the digital world, right? But I think our focus is delivering a digital experience that parallels that interpersonal one, right? So we're going to be talking about things like, you know, discovering a product over the web or a service over the web, receiving follow-up information over email, conducting your research through those various channels, being able to solicit feedback from other customers, being able to purchase that product online, requesting support, searching for additional documentation, being able to recommend product—all of these things, I think, comprise the kind of digital parallel in the customer experience world. So I hope that makes sense to you. So let me just build this out. We've done this to move quickly here. We've got this maturity model that we've talked about here at Gilbane for a bit, and I've got four kind of levels of maturity. The first is tactical, and this is really where, you know, we're talking about really kind of being siloed, that, you know, you've got various components maybe of the technologies required for a customer experience. And by the way, I view customer experience management and customer engagement management as much more of a strategy than just as a product. It's supported by products. And so you might have a number of those in place. And you might be doing it in a number of pockets around your organization, various parts of the organization. But really, it's kind of just kind of sporadic. Awareness is the level at which I think you move up to when you've got this, you've kind of got a good understanding of all the pieces to it, and maybe even a good definition of kind of the customer and how you bring some things to bear for them to create this universal experience. But it's being done in maybe one area of the company. So larger companies might have multiple brands, or just kind of, you know, maybe it's a single web channel. You might have lots of web presences, and you've only kind of got this on one of them. So that's kind of the awareness level. And then connected is where you're kind of more mature implementation of these tools, and the people and the processes are kind of across are starting to put together, where you're trying to get really this more kind of universal understanding of who the customer is. And then the engage is when you're kind of coordinating all these capabilities across your entire organization for all of your interactions. And you've got a more seamless experience between that digital experience and that kind of in-person customer experience. It's kind of the holy grail. I'm not sure if there's even many, if any, examples of folks who are there. So this is a bit of a mind-numbing slide, and I don't mean for you to read through it all, and I certainly won't read it to you, but just to orient you to what this kind of is, I want to just kind of show you what I think are the six major capabilities within that help to define customer experience maturity. So along the left, on the vertical axis there, you see the kind of tactical, aware, connected, engaged that I just defined for you. And then across the top, these are what I think are the capabilities. So I hail from web content management, so content management is first and foremost going to be mine. You know, whether you are able to manage the content and the assets internally and know where and when and how to be able to use those and the degree to which you've got some level of maturity, you know, the systems that you're using, that sort of thing. Content management is one of those capabilities. Second one is social and your ability to kind of both listen to and broadcast information on the social channels, both individually with large groups, whether you've got user-generated content capabilities and if people can interact with you in that way, with each other, all sorts of things like that. Audience insight, you know, these are, if we were to break it down into technologies, these are analytics, you know, mining search logs. It's all those sorts of things that help to give you an understanding of your audience. This is kind of your customer intelligence, so to speak, helping to, you know, the ways in which you can listen or perceive your audience to create a profile of them. message execution in the web experience management world. I used to call this campaign execution or campaign management because we were dealing more strictly with marketers. I think we're dealing not only with marketers now, but with other professions in the organization. And message execution, since it's not always marketing messages, is how you coordinate all that you want to say to your audience there. You know, your support conversations as well. You know, how well coordinated are these things? It's your voice to the customer. And then customer service is, I think, one of the key things is, I don't mean that as just kind of a customer service in the more traditional sense, but more about what are all the services that you're offering to customers as opposed to just prospects. So how are you bringing those to fruition and including those in this model? How are you bringing those to bear? Do you have customer portal for them? Is it self-service sort of, you know, work for them? And the last one is not at all technological, and it's more about organizational readiness, right? I think there's big changes that come along with this that, you know, I alluded to it just a second ago, but it's no longer just marketing at the tip of the spear. Or is it marketing, and are they taking on a larger role now if they're truly managing your customers? That hasn't traditionally been the role of a marketer. So a number of groups now come into play, and how well are they aligned? Are they really willing to kind of look, you know, shed their kind of traditional chasms between them? Are they willing to even share even a universal customer identifier, which isn't present in all organizations? So I hope that's helpful. Let me talk quickly about these kind of five steps, as I've got about 7 more minutes here before I pass it over to Darren, and Darren will fill you in on some of the ways that, you know, Sitecore can help you fulfill on these things. So the first one, and these, by the way, are in some sort of an order. I do kind of think that this is, you know, from the inside out, these are kind of some of the, you know, ways of importance that you can start to take this on. Number one is listening, right? So this perception, I've beat this already to death a couple of times. Are you listening to your customers? Do you know who they are? Are you validating the assumptions about your customers that you already have and then using that information to go back and refine and optimize your content and the messages that you're giving to them, your personas that you've created? Is your way of understanding your audience and the typical profiles, are they matching up with who you thought you were working with? Are there new customers now that you're serving that you didn't even necessarily weren't aware of before? They weren't targets. So are you using, you know, certainly from a technology standpoint, are you using the, you know, social channels to do that? Do you have ways for people to kind of give you feedback on your site? Are you using analytics in the right way? So, but it's not just all about technology. What are the processes that you have in place to listen to your customers over these digital channels? Second is, so obviously you have to be able to respond then. Are you ready and prepared to respond in kind? I think this is really where a lot of this is key, right? When we talk about having personalized content, we talk about having these interactions with customers where we're talking about having more one-to-one or one-to-few conversations, we usually need more content, right? So do you have content that's ready and waiting for you to be able to respond accordingly when you hear certain feedback, when you are seeing certain dynamics? Have you optimized that in a way that your content can learn from the feedback that you're getting, right? So I talked about using search as a way of listening, right? So are you looking at search logs, even just as a practice, and seeing what people are looking for? And if you go and replicate those searches, are you able to find what you know intuitively, probably as a person, they were likely looking for? And if not, can you go back and enhance that content so that it's easier for the next folks? There are automated ways to do some of that as well. Are you using metadata? Those sorts of things. So without getting into that too much, but are you able to respond accordingly across the channels, and especially in a consistent way, right? So being consistent, I think, is really, really, really key. And much like I tried to point out in my analogy, I think it really detracts from your brand if the customers have a single experience that's inconsistent with their experiences thus far. And with so many ways and so many different intercepts and ways that you can interact with your customers now, not just different channels, certainly that applies. I mean, we can talk about Josh Spernoff's view of the SplinterNet and the number of channels now that we have and devices and all that, so certainly that's relevant. But just also, if we're going to truly talk about customer experience management and not just, you know, prospect experience management. There's a lot of interactions and a lot of ways that we engage with actual customers, maybe post-transaction, that we now have to kind of bring to bear all of these other things that we've learned about them. So this is no small feat. Fourth is making these interactions cumulative, right? So I mentioned growing and learning. If you're listening and you're responding, then hopefully you're kind of furthering. As you gain that trust, like I said during the description of the engagement journey, you're going to get more information from them. You're going to share more information from them. You're going to just, in general, learn an awful lot more. And are you able to capitalize on that? And are you able to focus on that next interaction and have it pick up where you left off? And so, you know, that looks to it. There are a number of technologies that support that. But I think one of the keys is ensuring that you've got some sort of a system in place of a profile such that you're able to track some of the things that some of the interactions. And then lastly, my last one before I pass it over to Darren here, is tying this back to revenue. I know certainly many are kind of scared to do that. And to be honest, this all was kind of bleeding edge, might be overstating it a little bit, but it was new enough that we marketers, we customer experience professionals weren't necessarily always required per se to give hardline data. You know, as marketers, it was enough to say, talk about the brand and what you're doing for the brand and how your efforts are, relaying over that. I don't think we should fear tying back to revenue and looking for ways that we can tie specifically back to revenue and being willing to hold ourselves accountable for all of this impacting bottom line. I actually think that it's going to start to be easier to do that as we start to move over into the realm of the customer versus just the prospect. I think there's some opportunities there that make it even easier to tie back to revenue. And maybe we'll get to some of that a little bit later. Let me, without any further ado, I'm right at my time. Let me pass it over to Darren, and he can tell you a little bit about Sitecore and their view of the world and how they will help you fulfill on some of this mission. So, Darren, over to you.
Thanks, Scott. And to kind of continue the theme of how to be successful here, I'm not going to talk a ton about Sitecore. And really what I'd rather spend the remaining amount of time is talk about the process. And because I think probably you're sitting there nodding your head saying, that sounds good. How do I do this? How do I get started? You often sit in these webinars and there's all this sort of great philosophy without enough action. And so I think one of the goals that we had in this webinar, Scott and I, was to sort of make this a bit more actionable and tangible and how you get started and where can you go around capitalizing on these ideas, these five steps, and how do you actually put those into practice. So just to start off, to set some context, if you look at the technology set that the Sitecore offers, it looks a bit like this. You start off with the ability to do goal tracking and engagement scoring and analytics and campaign management, and as you sort of progress around the circle, you tend to get into deeper and deeper capabilities like engagement automation and multi-channel activity and then cross-channel presence. It really starts to hit on various things that Scott talked about. But I'm often asked the question, how do I get started? How do I do this? This seems like a lot. And so we have developed at Sitecore a methodology to help our customers. And so I thought I'd share some of that with you. It's a framework. It's an approach, right? This is as much about technology as people and process, right? There's the three things that you have to really nail down, and Scott alluded to it in his process model, that there's an organizational readiness element to this. And so we recognize after, the hundreds and hundreds of customers we worked with to go through this process that we really need to give people a way to a framework, a mental framework on how to approach this. So we came up with, a five-step model. It's arbitrary, right? You could have sliced this in a dozen different ways, but this is what we were looking as we talked to our customers. These are the kinds of sort of steps that we were hearing from them. They were making those jumps, and those felt comfortable for them. It was also a way for them to evolve their business processes and their teams around this, and at the same time, it helped us map the areas of technology and capability of Sitecore to what they were trying to do. So really this starts off with what we call basic. Basic is traditional, you know, putting up a web presence, measuring it based on volume counts of how many visitors. You've integrated some search and some newsletters. You've got some analytics, but it's very, you know, quantity-based, you know, how many, you start high-fiving each other when you get, you know, 30% more traffic. And that's where many people are still today. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, as you start to look up this stack and you start to say, well, where can I go and what do I want to do next? You know, really that next logical step is what we call tactical. And where you start to move from your metrics, you know, get replaced from just measuring traffic to starting to tie those KPIs to more business objective of what you're trying to do with your website, you start to think about that web presence itself as a bit more strategic, you know, in maybe in a way to grow your revenue. Or, you know, if your strategic goal for your website is to avoid cost, let's say if you're government, those objectives start to, you start to measure against those objectives. You start to think more about multi-channel, particularly you start to add in the mobile presence. And you start to think about measuring things holistically across all those channels. So you start to do this cross-channel engagement measurement. You know, if you're a B2B organization, you might also start thinking about enablement, sales enablement. And you start to, you take that next step in email to start to just do some segmentation, right? That's that next tactical step. Now, beyond that, you know, and this is where it starts to get pretty interesting, is you start to get into a heavy optimization phase. And here, you're taking all of this information you're collecting now, and you're starting to really optimize the marketing spend across the channels. And you're really starting to measure effectivity across all those channels. So now we're starting to really orchestrate those channels, and we're starting to connect them in that way. So really, you're using, you know, steps one and two from Scott's session around, you know, listening and responding. And you're using that information in that sort of consistent way to start to measure the effectivity of those interactions. Your KPIs are now closely tied to those business objectives. You're measuring that, you know, against monthly targets. You're really starting to think about campaign management actively, because this is what you're trying to optimize, is the campaign outcomes. You're optimizing the customer's experience, you know, in terms of their top tasks. You're measuring things against, you know, these qualitative measures instead of measuring just simple, you know, how many people are coming. You're starting to measure what are they doing and are they doing the right kinds of things. And you're starting to do some targeting. Now you're starting doing some targeting on those very basic observed behaviors, like where are they from. So what I call the digital fingerprint stuff. So this is, you know, what country are they from? This is what kind of browser are they using? What device are they on? You're starting to do that. You know, the clear sort of simple things that you can learn about somebody by just simply observing them directly. And then that next step is where you start to really weave these things together into a cohesive, consistent story. So this gets to Scott's point around consistency and the cumulative experience, because now we're creating nurture flows and iterative processes. And so this is where we start to weave in our engagement automation. But many of the marketing automation tools can do similar things. You start to have this progressive experience. Now, all of those KPIs are really starting to tie into revenue. They're starting to map to some sort of revenue metric that's connecting that engagement. Even if you're not an e-commerce site, you still start to find ways to connect to revenue. You start to plug into CRM systems and customer databases. You start to map leads, you know, and interactions all the way through the chain. So you've taken your email interactions and your web interactions and your mobile interactions and your social interactions, and you're threading those all the way through so you can trace someone's experience from the very first time they came to you on a campaign all the way through every interaction. And you're able to do that because, of course, you've connected all these channels, and you now understand that person throughout their entire journey. You start to use things like predictive personalization, and predictive personalization is that more observed, subtle behavior about behavioral kind of metrics, that implicit behaviors of what they're interested in, what they're concerned about, what they want. And you're doing that because your listening is kind of coming down to that next level of not just observing the explicit things that they told you and the things you can look at, but now the behavioral stuff. You're also starting to do trigger-based email. So now you're weaving in more of these, you know, time-based interactions, because we know that time is an important factor, and, you know, what I call temporal relevance. So when customers come, you know, and they're looking in, you know, they're looking, you know, at your website, they're looking, reading emails about certain specific subjects, that means it's relevant for them right now. And so using tools to take advantage of that time-based, you know, element and starting to dialogue with them in all the channels in that consistent, cohesive way. And then our step five is what I call the holy grail step, and this is where you start to blend online and offline. because, of course, Scott's right. This isn't just online, right? You know, when you're talking customer experience, you need to be thinking about the offline world. And this is where we do heavy integration into the CRM systems, and we actually start to connect the offline experience to the online experience. And so everything, you know, in the offline world, whether you're in a store, you're in a loyalty management system, you've integrated that so that every point of your interaction, online, in a store, out of this, you know, on, you know, in and out, you know, even brochures that are connected, because they have, you know, 2D barcodes that are connected to the campaigns that let you know who that customer is and what they're interested in. All those are tied through KPIs that measure sort of a qualitative element, which we call engagement score, that's really measuring how engaged, and those things become predictive of revenue. And it's again, tracing all these things from, you know, all threading all those interactions across all those channels. And it requires you to really integrate with CRM systems and customer databases. It requires you to really think about things holistically and start to use tools like your business intelligence tools and bridging all that data online and offline to fully understand the optimal paths. You're starting to optimize, you know, pathing across channel and start to nurture people to the right channels, to the right place based on where they are in their life cycle. So that's how we talk to our customers. Now, you can't take any journey if you don't know where you are. So the first thing we suggest is that you measure where you are. And so in our methodology, and Sitecore's developed our methodology, and we actually have a white paper that we can share with you, this digital strategy measures at what kind of elements you're doing today and where you want to be. So it measures your where you are today. It also measures where you want to go. And in our case, we create spider charts that look a little bit like this that help you understand just at what level of maturity and what level of depth you would like to, where you are now and where you want to go. This creates a tool for us that lets us map our customers out to where they want to be. Again, this is really important because, again, if you don't know where you are right now, you're not going to know what you need to do to get to where you want to go. So this helps us give that sort of baseline. So, you know, with that, you know, it's taking all this technology now and weaving it together to achieve the business goals that our customers have. And in this case, I'm going to take us through just one of those steps. And this is an example of how we explain to our customers how you progress from, let's say, either step one to step two or step, you know, two to three. All of our methodology is around transitioning and progressing from level to level. So I'll take us through, you know, one example, which is the optimization phase to the automation phase. And how did we progress, you know, from step three to step four? And so what we do in this case is we run a series of workshops and a series of exercises to help customers understand what they need to do. So in this example, it's all about customer intelligence and really utilizing, measuring, listening, and responding against that customer intelligence. And so in this case, we run persona and profiling workshops that help customers understand what they know about the customer, what they would like to know with their customer, and what it is, you know, and how they can get that information more deeply. So we run a series of workshops that help them understand that. Then we also go through a process where we help them understand what to do with it. So this is the predictive personalization workshop. We run them through predictive workshops. Again, we can run these. Our partners run these as well. And it helps our customers understand just what should I do. Now, this isn't about the technology. This is just about the process and the thinking behind how to do this. So this isn't how do I go implement this thing. This is what should I do. What's the strategy? What's the approach I should take to achieve these kinds of goals? And so we go through these workshops. They're a day to 2 days in length. We work the customer through them. It's really a war room setting where we go through and look through what they know about their customer and what they want to achieve. And then the next step is we go through and do a cross-channel workshop that really understands, all right, now that we have this, how can we create these flows and these interaction engagement plans that really can capitalize on what we want, what we know, and how we want to implement somebody across channel, and what sort of nurturing methods we want to use. And again, it's really the strategy behind how to use the technology. It's not the technology itself. And so we've realized that by giving these kinds of this kind of methodology out to our customer base and to help them understand how to do more of this, you know, customers are able to accelerate how quickly they can utilize more and more of that technology, get more value out of it, and it's good for our customers, it's good for us. And so this is something that we do. You know, many vendors are following suit. I just thought we would explain some of this to the audience and help you understand what some of the tools are and what some of the capabilities are that are available to you in the marketplace, so you can, as you're looking to create more deep engagement, as you're trying to do some of this stuff, there are methodologies out there that can help you to figure out where you are and then understand what you need to do to get to where you want to go. And it can be incremental, right? It can be a step at a time. You don't have to swallow, you know, the whole buffalo at one, you know, in one fell swoop. You can take a bite at a time. And I think that's what a lot of the marketplace vendors are doing now is creating these process frameworks and these flows. So whether you're a Sitecore customer, a prospect, or you're using some other technology, there are definitely tools out there. You know, definitely ask your vendors. If you're interested in seeing the Sitecore methodology, we can share it with you. Because the primer is about 30 pages and goes through a lot of detail on exactly how to do some of this stuff. And then, of course, there's these very, you know, deep workshops that can take it even further. All right. And with that, I'll hand it back to Marissa for some Q&A.
Great. Thank you, Scott and Darren, for that very engaging presentation. We did have some great questions that came in, so I'd like to also, again, encourage you to continue submitting these questions using that webinar toolbar throughout this Q&A session, or again via Twitter at hashtag engagement2012. If your questions are not answered, we will follow up with you on an individual basis. So let's go ahead and jump right into a couple questions here. First question is, this looks great, but will we need a small army of staff to carry this out?
I love that question. I'll take the first one. Please feel free to chime in, too. You know, it can look intimidating. It looks like there's a lot of stuff here. But the reality is every one of our organizations are spending a tremendous amount of time, you know, wasting effort in across silos. You know, your email team is doing stuff in their own silo. Your web team is doing something in their silo. And it's a little crazy when you step back and you look at how much wasted effort. You've got this great, you know, email campaign that you're about to send out to these people that are probably going to ignore it because it has no contextual relevance to what they were just interested in on your website. And so there's huge missed opportunities. There's huge wasted effort. Open rates in the email world are trending towards zero, let alone whether they click on anything and read it. And I think what's happening is we're so busy trying to cut down the tree with the dull axe, we don't have time to stop and sharpen the axe. This is axe sharpening. This is about being more efficient, about getting better results. And I think I don't think it takes an army either, because I think what happens is you wind up reallocating those resources, operating in a far more effective way, and at the same time, you know, seriously improving the benefits and the results and the measurability. Because now by tying all these things together, you know what's working and what's not much quicker with a lot less effort. And then you just start spending your marketing dollars more effectively as well. So Scott, what's your take?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that, Darren. I think you're exactly right. It was the same answer I'd give, which is that, you know, it's not that you need more people. It's that you need them working in concert. Because essentially you're still, you know, you're doing a lot of this already just in various areas and how connected those things are to each other, those, you know, those responsibilities and those tasks and things that the folks are doing is really the question. Now, all that being said, though, I wouldn't say, you know, I really do think, as I stated a little bit earlier about kind of, you know, who owns the website, who owns the web presence now, some of those questions where it was much easier to delineate, you know, who owned their marketing's responsibilities versus the customer experience group, you know, or the customer support group, those sorts of things. There might be some, you know, territorial issues going on internally, and it might not necessarily be a really easy thing to get those folks to combine. But that said, I think it makes, you know, most sense. So if you start top down and start talking about restructuring, which I think is probably, you know, unnecessary, or you start, you know, kind of working by committee where there's a, you know, a group of folks who are just making sure that they're, you know, working in concert, which is probably the most likely, whichever approach that you take, I don't think you need any larger of an army than you already had before.
Great. Thanks, Darren and Scott. Those were a great question with some great answers. The second question is, which of the five steps will have the biggest impact on customer loyalty?
Do you want me to take this one first, Darren? Is that okay? So I talked, so, you know, I stressed a lot of things in there. And the first, when I introduced the five steps, I think I said that they were in order of importance. And I don't know that they're in order of importance. They're kind of in a logical order. But I actually think the most important one was the middle one, which was talking about consistency. I think consistency really is key. And that certainly, I hope that was stressed in the restaurant analogy as well. I think, you know, if any of us just thinks about, you know, we can all answer that question for ourselves, right? Let's not lose our minds when we're talking about going digital here. This is nothing I know as an analyst more than anybody else knows as a consumer. You know, we need consistency. We like consistency. Consistency gets us to be, you know, we know what we can expect. You know, we know what we're going to get. It's just those are the reasons that we continue to go back and be loyal to things. Is when we know what we can get, you know, we know that it's going to pick up where it left off. So I think that notion of consistency is probably the most key and the thing that you should look for first and foremost to try to drive. And Darren talked about some pretty good ways to help do that. So. Darren, what would you say?
You know, I'd agree as well. And it's an interesting statistic that was done by eConsultancy Group recently that consistency was the number one driver at 89% rated by marketers to drive customer loyalty. And it even beat out price and several of the other usual suspects. And I thought that was for the first time, that research showed that it's really very important to customers, and it reminds me of my own sort of little story that I've got, which is one of our customers is Alaska Airlines, and I fly them quite a bit because I'm on the West Coast, and one of the situations happened. I was coming back from a trip to Australia, and I stopped through Hawaii for a week with the family, and I was calling to see if I'd gotten upgraded to first class, and I picked the phone and called a call center, and it rolled right to an operator, and she answered the phone. Hello, Mr. Granaccio, are you calling about your flight to Boston next week? And for those of you who heard me tell the story, the story goes, I just about dropped my phone because I was just so shocked and at the same time amazed that they took the time to really think about that experience, and it validated that she knew who I was, that I mattered, and she took a guess as to what I was calling about. Even though she was wrong, I didn't really care. I was so excited about the fact that I mattered enough to actually try. And that consistency of them recognizing that I had a flight coming up, I was already on a flight. It was an amazing experience for me, and I tell it every chance I get, because I think that's just the way it should be done. And it validated for me, why I'm their customer and why I will book a flight on Alaska first and foremost over any other airline on the planet when I can, because they just treat me like gold. And it's their tagline is North of Expected, which, they were absolutely living up to that brand promise. So that's just a consistency thing to me. I think that's so important. And that's for me, the number one driver for my loyalty is treat me consistently well. And that's absolutely true.
Terrific. Well, I think we have time for one more question here. So that question is, we have fingers in each of these steps, except perhaps the last one. Is it definitely a progressive order you should follow, or does this blended approach work, and has anyone ever done it?
I'll take a first swing at that one. You don't have to do these in this order. This is the order that we came up with simply because we felt like this is what customers were naturally doing. There's no magic to this order. I think what happens is that customers need a place to start, right? And if you haven't done it at all, they're really asking the question, what order makes sense? So, of course, you can blend your own, and you can see that even in that spider chart that people can be in different levels of maturity across the different steps for us. Has anyone done it all? It's still pretty early days. There is a handful of customers that are doing quite a lot. I'd say a good chunk of our customers, the advanced ones are in steps 3 and 4. We've seen, some of our customers who are just in step 2 and 3 are getting amazing results. One of the big airlines in the UK just reported to us that they're seeing a huge jump in conversions just by doing some of the things in level 3. I think they're seeing 20% jump in conversion rate. So some pretty powerful statistics. And I think that we have a couple customers who are pushing the boundaries on level 5 now. They're doing the connectivity. There's a college in the Netherlands that's already wiring up their version of a CRM system for student recruitment, and they're bringing it all the way through. And their early reports is they're showing some pretty profound results. So we're starting to see people really take those next steps, but most people are still in the 3 to 4 range. And now people are really pushing the envelope, starting to really push the envelope to 5, but there's just not very many of those yet. Scott, what's your take?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I'm glad that you went first, Aaron, because I got to kind of, I really thought about it for a second, because this is, this comes up a lot. There's a lot of cynicism in general about this whole area. If it's a pundits in the world, they say, technology can't solve that problem. And other folks will say, right, but this is big and monumental. Customers who want it say, where do I even begin? Can I even get there? And I think the point of me trying to drive this down to interactions was to try to say, look, at the end of the day, it's baby steps. It's all small steps. The short answer to the question is absolutely not. You don't have to take on all this. Absolutely not. You don't have to have all of the technologies. Absolutely not. They don't all have to be from one source. Absolutely not. You don't have to have all the people aligned on a nice, neat team like, the last question. I think, even on the mobile part, for example, I had this agreement with somebody in the industry who was talking about, mobile first. Everybody has to have a mobile strategy. And I was like, that's bogus. I've got plenty of clients who don't have a mobile strategy. They do just fine. It's not really their audience. And if you think about the big brands in the consumer world, of course, it's not them who I'm talking about necessarily, but there are plenty who this just is not relevant to. But the counterpoint to that one for me was when the person counted back and said, look, but it's not about necessarily going mobile. It's about thinking mobile. It's about what mobile means is essentially you have to think about what are the core elements of the kind of prioritizing why somebody might come to you. And when you go mobile, you have to think about, you no longer have all this space. You've got to figure out what you can fit in the 2 inches by 4 inches or whatever it is. So in the same light, you don't have to think about all this, taking on all of it, nor do you have to think about I think it's a similar analogy where it's less about can you complete all of this vision, and it's more about we're moving in the realm of web content management away from, think about even just the term web content management. It was about how do I manage my own web content. It was very introspective. It was very focused on my stuff. And what we're now talking about is personas and our audience and their needs and how can we listen to them more and how can we respond in kind? How can we personalize? It's we're thinking in the right realm now. So whether or not we put all these technologies together to create this wonderful, world and environment for our customers, or whether we just do bits and pieces of it, the point is to start thinking in this way, to think about your customers, think about them as personas, think about what you've got to say that's relevant to each user, think about what their actions on the site means to you in terms of its meaningful and usefulness to your audience. I think that's what it's about, really. So the short answer is no, you don't need it all, but you should start thinking this way.
Great. Thanks again. We had some great questions and some great answers. That is going to be wrapping up now, our Q&A portion of the presentation. And we thank everyone again for participating today. As a reminder, we will email you the link to this presentation, including the PDF, so you can view it again and also share it with your colleagues. So again, thank you everyone for your time today, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.